Welcome to the Popcorn Drunkies.
Drunkies.
We're popcorn junkies, don't mess with us. Okay, this is a review of Civil War.
Yes, indeed.
Alex Garland's Civil War. Let's just spend a brief moment on Alex Garland, shall we?
Let's do it.
He did Ex Machina.
Which we love.
One of the most sensational AI tech.
I'll watch that again, actually.
I'd like to watch that again. He did Annihilation.
Oh. My boyfriend's favourite film ever.
Really? Is it? And you girls came to that before me, actually, and then I came to it, and I liked lots in it. Then he did Men.
Ah, yes, of course.
With Olivia Colman. Coleman. No, Jesse Buckley.
Yeah, that unsettled me so much.
So unsettling, and again, when it was good, it was great, but there were some weird moments.
Yeah.
Had good moments in it. And this is Civil War. Obviously, he was the writer of things like 28 Days Later. I think he wrote the book, The Beach, which became the Leonardo DiCaprio film, directed by Danny Boyle. He's worked with Danny Boyle a lot, so he's part of the whole 28 Days Later sort of thing. So this is his latest film, Civil War. Comes from A24, and it has quite a sort of low-key, I would say, cast, insofar as they're great actors, but they're sort of character actors, aren't they? They're not really sort of massive household names. So you've got the biggest star is Kirsten Dunst, you've got Kaylee Spaney, I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, Kaylee Spaney, who played Priscilla, she's in there. You've got Nick Offerman playing the president, and you've got, then everyone is talking about Jesse Plemons' moment.
What was the name of the guy, the press photographer?
Wagner de Moura, he's a Brazilian actor.
He looked so familiar the whole time.
And of course the other great actor that we all love is Stephen McKinley Henderson, who was recently seen in Dune when his eyes go.
Yeah.
That's quite cool. I thought it was kind of intriguing that this film landed on the same day, or the same weekend, that Donald Trump was in court, not for his riot on Capitol Hill, but he's in court, and Donald Trump's very much seen as the president who kind of oversaw almost a revolution.
Yeah.
What's curious about this as well, so the timing is curious. A lot of people got very excited when I reacted to the trailer saying, this is what's going to happen. This is America's future is inscribed in this film. This could be a big moment and all that kind of stuff. So it has a certain, there's a believability factor in there. And the other detail about it that's kind of odd is it's directed by a Brit.
Yeah.
Odd. So what is it? It's an action thriller, dystopian thriller, in which it's not often you get a dystopian where you haven't got zombies, creatures,
fungals. Yeah, but there isn't a realistic one, I guess.
Exactly, the baddies are the people. The film at the front sort of sets up that there's conflict, America's in split, you've got California and Texas are kind of one army. Quite like the detail of the American flag, which is two stars. There's only two states. Yeah, and they're essentially rebelling against the president. And I think, though it doesn't go to great lengths to explain this to us, it's kind of inferred that the president and those in control of America are more Trumpian than they are sort of liberal.
Yeah. Like,
because so many of the troops that we're with rebelling are black and ethnic minority. And so the film got going and it started in a sort of scene of conflict. I liked the beginning. I thought the beginning was very arresting. You know, that moment where they're sort of thinking, what's the conflict? What's going on?
Well,
you see a woman kind of...
You were very quickly plunged
into carnage. And we had a sort of suicide bomber holding an American flag aloft, didn't we? I was struggling right at the beginning of this film to make sense of the politics.
Right.
Did that matter, Maddie?
Personally for me, I mean, I didn't really know what was going on politically and what the situation was. And I'd say for a split second it was bothering me a bit. Because
yes.
I was like, I would just like to know, set in stone what it is that
I did.
Is causing this. But I felt like I quite quickly let go of that. There was a moment where I was like, oh, I'd like, what's going on?
Who's who?
But then I thought I might have missed something. So then I turned to you and was like, wait, what's
Well, when you asked me that, I thought, God, have I missed something?
Yeah, maybe we both did, who knows? For me, after feeling that way, I very quickly kind of just gave into it. And I quite ended up actually quite liking that we didn't fully know what the reason for this.
I think you're right. And I think some of the criticism he's coming for is that he kind of fudged it. Some people are describing it as a sort of, not cowardly as in cowardly, but a sort of, he dodged the difficulties of actually engaging with what is a, you know, America is genuinely in a political hellhole of divide.
Yeah.
It's incredibly complicated. And some are suggesting that he purposefully almost doesn't give us the details of that so that he can't be seen to be siding too much.
Really? I think that might be reading into it a bit too.
I agree. And I also think the very thing that you've just said there, Maddie, is that by the end of the film, this is kind of a guide to seeing it, you will strive for coherence politically. I think when we get to what the film is really about, I think it's actually important that we don't know what they're fighting about, because it's people fighting. And I think that, in a weird way, I think what you'll find in what we've got to say about the film, that's kind of interesting in itself. I thought it was a really neat setup. So you had this explosion, and then we'd set up Nick Offerman, who's the president. I thought that was nice. I thought there was something very, thinking back to that moment, it's just a profile shot of him. Obviously, he's about to do an address. And did you notice on the last moment when he went for the address, he had such an evil smirk on his face? And so there's something, I mean, Nick Offerman's not in it for long, but he's very subtle and it's very clever. And I think it's one of those films that by rewatching, you might get a bit more positive.
Yeah, I feel like I would want to rewatch this film, just know what to look out for a second watch.
So effectively, we're on journey with four characters.
Lee,
our main photographer, the Wagner-Moura guy who's with her, a lovely, lovely Steve McKinley Henderson guy from the New York Times, and a young wannabe whippersnapper photographer. They're all at a hotel, they're all getting together, and they all want to basically head to DC and get an interview with the president. And I like that. I like the simplicity.
Ambitious.
Yes, as they say, it's ambitious. And they head off, and it becomes a road movie. It's weird. I was getting real road movie vibes.
Yeah, it was a bit like a road, yeah.
I mean, as soon as you hit the road, you had that...
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah. It was kind of odd. I think one of the things that also troubled me at the front of this was I didn't really know what it was asking me to feel. And I don't know if that was kind of a good thing or a bad thing, because I was thinking, oh, this seems a bit lighthearted. Oh, this seems a bit kind of on the road again. And then it was like, oh, no, people are fucking blowing themselves up.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't know, it's weird. I feel like I didn't, because I know what you're saying with that, and I agree, like, there were, it would change its kind of tone
and
its
rhythm,
vibe a lot.
It was kind of, yeah.
But I think, like, that worked, that it kept changing its tone and its rhythm. Yeah. Because like we said when we came out, but obviously we'll go, like, into more detail a bit, but I ended up feeling like the film is more about how desensitized the press or, like, war photographers get after, you know, seeing such awful, traumatic things one after the other. So I felt like, you know, when we would see something really traumatic happen and then it would kind of be like cut off by this kind of fun, road trip music.
Yes.
It worked for me. It kind of weirdly made me, as the watcher, see something really traumatic and then go, oh, on the road again, you know?
Oh, right.
A bit desensitised, like,
that's interesting.
They were to a certain extent.
Yeah, you're right, because you do get on the road again, and as they're on the road again, you start to see a battered and disrupted and sort of dystopian kind of America that they go through towns. And
they have, like, there's almost like chapters throughout the movie where they meet one thing and then another thing and then another
it's
thing.
Very
pretty
episodic.
Much all these stop-off points, something pretty
happened.
Gruesome or, like, you know, traumatic happens.
But they did a good thing right at the beginning in the character setting. I thought it was really quite challenging in a good way. Kirsten Dunst's character, Lee, was very unlikable at the beginning. I found her really harsh. But what was really good about that is when you meet war photographers and journalists in war zones, they're like that. They have to be. I found her difficult to settle into. So that when you had the young whippersnapper of Kaylee Spenny who'd hitched a lift, who from the get-go was driving me fucking
she
nuts.
Really annoyed me.
How annoying was she?
In like a, she did a great job
As
of the character, but just as in like her character was, it was annoying.
But she was like a hyperactive toddler.
She was, yeah.
And she had a spine, she was an aspirational, you know, photographer. She
wanted to be like Lee, but obviously like seeing a lot of these things for the first time. So like really reacting to them and being traumatised and like crying and throwing up, and then Lee's like obviously. Like,
yeah, and in a weird way, the film is almost. I mean, Kaylee Spenny's character is almost the origin story of Lee's character.
Yeah, because like the older guy is saying throughout, like, oh, she's like, oh, what are you going to do? She's just like me when I was her age. And
I did like the fact between the three older people, you know, the three older journalists, photographers, there was that camaraderie, which I've felt and had in the past when you know the same photographers. There is a community.
Yeah.
They all do know each other. And they are all kind of ultimately hunting after the ultimate photo and the ultimate image. And so you've got this band. And what was also good was
I liked the relationships.
Yes.
Between one of them.
You got very attached, though, to our New York Times Stephen McKinley Henderson character, didn't you?
I love him in everything I see him in. He's just got such a lovely nature about him. But, especially in this. I was like, just had that feeling. I was like...
And I love the way they kept foreground in the fact that he was old and that he was large and that he couldn't move quickly. So you're immediately thinking, this guy's a sitting duck, quite literally. When this shit kicks off, he's finished.
Yeah.
And there's a lovely twist about that later. And I also like the fact that they parked a really sinister scene, I thought, with Wagner... Moura, where he and Kaylee Spenny, it was a bit
It was a bit weird. But then we also found out that, like, before he kind of, because he was the one that let her come on the road trip, that he was like drunk and flirting with her that whole night. So he's a bit of a
bit of a cad. So what's nice?
Drinks and smokes pretty much throughout and all of that. But I did, although that scene was a bit like, oh God, men.
I did
like his character.
But it was very believable. And I thought
It was, it was nicely done.
And I think when looking back at it, I think you really are parked within a sort of almost amoral group, though there is morality, certainly in the older guy. Amoral group of we're out to get the story, we're out to get the image. And I think there is a big debate, and anyone who's worked in the media, about what does it take? What do you have to be in order to take the photo and not step in to help?
Yeah.
And we get a little montage, which was quite a functional montage, where we saw Lee's form, you know, Kirsten Dunst's previous...
And
they were really traumatic. I mean, there are some moments in this.
Especially the fire one. The guy getting himself on.
Really, yeah, really, really, really dark and arresting. And then you're right, we move into sort of set piece journey as they're trying to get closer to DC.
Yeah, I also wanted to say, like, throughout the film, I loved the photographs that were taken, because they would do these really cool things, you know, where we were kind of in the scene and we would see them kind of with their cameras taking photos of it. And then every now and then, like, when you know that they got the shot, it would, like, cut to the photograph that they managed to take. And whenever that would happen, I, like, genuinely forgot I was watching a movie, and it felt like I was watching real photos of, like, actual violence and actual stuff happening. So every time the photo was taken, I was like, oh, that's a good one. Like, but I really liked how they did that, how it would just be like this.
Yeah, it was a really neat device. And it was a really, it was quite a clever sort of thematic device, because what it did every time was, as humans, we watch a scene of violence, or there's a shootout, isn't there, in a kind of housing estate. And you're rooting for the guy who's behind the kind of, you know, column. And then, you know, the photographers are just there taking photos. They've all got press on them. It all says press, you know. And you know, you see the photos, and you're thinking, oh my God, how can you take the photo? And then another part of you is thinking, yes, it's important to take the photo because it needs to be shown, it needs to be documented. And I think this film, interestingly, is about the ego, actually, of photographers, because there is a competition, and that really comes into sharp focus at the end of the film. Yeah. But it is also about who are they doing this for? One of the things I did have a problem with in this film, and I think it is a criticism, I accept that I didn't need the political full portrait. What I didn't really believe or buy into was, who were they getting these photos for? There had to be a publication. Okay, they were working for them, the New York Times. I felt that America seemed in such desolate mess.
I agree, I felt that.
Like, who are they filing these into?
Yeah, where will this be coming from? Because, like, the whole place... I mean, maybe the rest of the world...
And maybe parts, I mean, maybe the other part of the idea is maybe huge parts of America are sort of functioning quite normally. But
which we kind of saw, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
Even that had its, it was a really cool shot with
it. Oh my God, yeah, we'll get to that. And so, yeah, I mean, quite quickly, I felt the tug of war between, taking a photo, being in a terrible scenario. But it took this really jovial, and you're right, the music really, it was a really interesting use of music, which I'm still kind of not totally certain worked for me, especially in that moment where the guy was behind the column and they get shot and she gets that beautiful photo. Beautiful, it's awful, he's dying.
I know, it was a beautiful photo.
And then they take the other guys out over there and they get rid of them.
They shoot them and there's the music.
And the music's just tripping along.
And the guy is just like laughing with the guy that just shot him.
He's having a cigarette. And then I thought, God, yeah, no, this is not a film about Civil War. This is a film about the coverage of these things.
Yeah.
How we film these things, how we process images and desensitization. I mustn't forget, there's a scene at the beginning where they stop at a petrol station and Kaylee Spenny's character goes off around the back. Come on.
Quite a few moments where she was an absolute idiot and it really bothered me. Dads would be like, oh, come on. And it would just... My God,
fucking
that
hell, that sounded like an explosion.
This much sun.
Civil War.
Because she's kind of the reason for all of the everything bad going stuff wrong that happens in it. Because of her just being an idiot.
She looks about six as well. It's quite hard to...
She's so young,
It's quite
she's
hard to...
playing 23,
that's
but
right.
She looked 12.
Oh, she was so annoying. So they get closer and closer and closer, and we move through various setups. We have this sort of strange tone, which is both breezy, but also serious. I would say it was breezier more than serious, and that's a challenge. But I think it's... I like anything that's challenged me, so I'm still processing that. I'm still trying to work out that one. Yeah. It's a road movie.
It doesn't really have a soundtrack other than...
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Actual songs they play.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't feel like it needed, because I felt like all the scenes kind of set up enough. There was enough kind of going on in every scene.
Mm.
So that I feel like if there was like a soundtrack going on underneath all the time, I'd kind of find it just a bit too much.
And there's always, there's a fine line between a soundtrack that's kind of massaging your response and the action actually telling you. I mean, I think one of the things it did allow for was that, you know, you haven't got monsters in this, you haven't got aliens, you haven't got AI, but you have got the brutality, bare brutality, if you like, of bullets. Yeah. And I think bullets in this were, fucking hell, that moment got shot in the press.
I don't know if our cinema was extra loud, but every time there was like a any loud thing, even just a helicopter flying over, I'd jump out my skin.
So the first moment, the first set piece that really stood out for me as a really kind of, I thought, oh, this is really, was the Winter Wonderland. Yeah. You know? And they rock up this place, which is, has it been Christmas in this field for like a year or something?
Yeah,
it's
just like an old setup for like a little Winter Wonderland, but then like the middle of the path is soldiers' brains have been blown out.
It was a bit,
which is quite clearly a warning sign to not go down that path, I feel.
Yeah, no, so you had that. And what was nice about that was obviously the counter. So you've got literally... Yeah. In fact, that was one of the few moments when that music was going, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Winter Wonderland or something like that. And then they discover these two guys, these sniper guys.
Yeah.
And it's that famous shot that you see with all kind of sort of furry stuff on his gun.
Camouflage.
And I thought that scene, you pointed out, that moment for me was sensational.
Mm.
It was stressful. It was dangerous.
Like, but then there was just...
And it was
like they were just
funny.
So desensitized, yeah. So it was quite a funny scene because they were just bantering and hashing.
And when Kaylee Spenny asks a question and he looks over the gun and says, "Who's in that?" They're trying to take a target out in the house, you know. And weirdly, so many moments were sort of ended without any sort of conclusion. So like they shot, there was a shot, and then we're back in the car.
Yeah.
So you didn't sort of get, which again was kind of. There's many things in this film that kind of jar, but not necessarily for totally bad reasons. But let's get to the point. There's a moment in this film, which we all knew from the trailer. And in fact, that moment in the trailer was why I wanted to go and see this film.
Yeah,
and what was that moment, Mads? It was just quite something, wasn't it?
It was Jesse Plemons.
Jesus Christ. And of course, he's Kirsten Dunst's partner. Apparently, she convinced him to do
they're
it.
They're together?
Yeah, they're a couple. Dino couple. But yeah, so...
We love Jesse Plemons in everything.
So many
even
things.
If I don't like...
The character.
The thing he's in or whatever. Yeah, or the character. He's just always phenomenal. But, yeah, I mean, this scene was just, like, it delivered, if not even more than I thought it would.
Because
that was the bit that I was, like, really excited about. Like, almost, even though I was enjoying the film, I was kind of there just like, when's the Jesse fantasy And it's quite a short scene, but it feels long just because of how, just, like, stressful and... It was honestly, I found it the scariest scene when actually compared to like other scenes within it, probably not as much.
Yeah, like the first one at the petrol station was particularly potentially frightening.
But like the Jesse Plemons scene was just so unsettling and so real. You know, you kind of, even when you see like documentaries or something in certain parts of America, there are characters like that. And it's just scary to think that, you know, give them a bit of power and...
And it was the lottery of what it was like. He goes around and you see it in the trailer. He says, "What kind of American are you?"
He's like questioning them on like whereabouts from America they are and whether it's American enough. And obviously, we can guess people that aren't American enough don't meet a very good.
And in that scene again, almost the sharpness and there's no music. The sound of the gun was. I mean, we were jumping out of our skins.
No, it was.
We've also had a scene just before it with Jesse, which denotes the fact that he's. Clearly involved in particularly untoward stuff, and that kind of really
I really liked the bit before. Without like giving too much away, like we're in a situation where only the girl is like currently with Jesse Plemons, and the rest of them are figuring out how to kind of go and rescue her.
Again, she's got herself into fucking trouble because she's
doing something really fucking
stupid. What was that about?
Climbing into but then there was that moment where the older guy, when they're all saying, you know, we're going to, and he was like, no, like, I am almost certain that this is a death situation. Like, just don't do this. And they were like, no, look, like, he's wearing, you know, he's in.
Oh, yeah,
he's a soldier. So, like, it'll probably be all right. And he goes, but I'm pretty sure what he's doing, he doesn't want anybody to know he's doing.
Yeah,
so,
and it involves a lot of bodies.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion? Because I know it didn't bother you. I came out of the film thinking. The reason that scene worked so well was because of Jesse Plemons, absolutely. He masterfully holds that scene. But also it was the moment where, most acutely, the idea of a politic, if you like, or politics crept into it. Because the whole, which American are you?
I agree with that.
And so I do wonder whether he did trip a little bit, what's his name? Alex Garland, by avoiding that elsewhere, because I think by threading through this idea of do you tick the right boxes for these absolute sociopathic Trumpian types, you are in danger. That's the zombie, if you like. Yeah. I'm not American enough. And so this scene was driven by him.
The setup was the gas station were a bit like that as well. We got the all-American.
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't have that political contingent to it, did we? No, so you didn't have the thing of what is the judgment here? How does
even within the gas station bit, like there are two men that are being hung up.
Yeah.
Like they're just like beaten up and hanging from car wash.
Yeah, the car wash. So I don't know. So part of me felt, yes, this moment for me was a brilliant, it's worth the price of the ticket admission alone. But it also felt it was really lifted and elevated even more because we had threaded into everything he was saying was, oh, it's that kind of American thing. What is that all about? And we won't ruin how that scene ends, but put it this way, help comes in the most unlikeliest of forms.
Yeah.
And then we have a very extended, protracted, almost Saving Private Ryan type final. It's gone from pure
it's been
sunlight.
Every type of
we're in New Zealand
right now. I've got hail. And...
Oh my God, it's hail again. Jesus Christ. And then we get to this protracted scene towards the end, which I thought, again, I actually thought the last 10 to 15 minutes of this film was excellent. I really, really liked
the end. Yeah, really long sequence.
Yeah. And it was really, it was the kind of siege of the White House. And
stressful.
So stressful. And very real.
Very real. I felt, that's one thing I say about this film, like it all, yeah, it felt very real. Like it felt like I was, like I said, and with the photos, sometimes I would forget that I was watching a fictional, you know, like film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Felt like I was watching real life at points.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it was it could be as unsettling as it was at times, because it just felt really real.
Yeah. I mean, Kaylee Spenning all the way still is irritating the fuck out of me. She's constantly getting in the way. She's constantly endangering them all. She's pursuing the shot,
Almost psychopathic, she was.
Sociopathic.
Very, by the end.
Very sociopathic. And then we move into a very, very, I think, successful kind of, though some critics have said that because there's no real kind of political aspect, some people are describing that scene in the White House as being a little bit like a sort of first person Call of Duty. It was almost like, and there is a bit of that.
Shoot
through the door. But it was stressful, and it was, I tell you the word that I would use for these action scenes, they were bare. They were bare of sound other than the essential sound.
Yeah, that's why I think that's, I really liked that.
Yeah, I really liked that. And then towards the end, this strange sort of switch happens with Kaylee Spenny and Kirsten Dunst's character, where the yin and the yang, one takes over the other, a terrible moment happens, we won't spoil that moment for you. It's incredibly dramatic. And I couldn't help but feel that Kaylee Spenny was a nasty little fucker.
Oh, yeah.
Or was she? Is that just what you need to be? Was Kirsten Dunst also a nasty little fucker throughout her career?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're all like slightly become so, like, only because they've been desensitized by what they've seen. But to a certain extent,
they're all nasty fuckers. There's a couple of
things. You have to shut off all feelings and emotions towards a person. But I felt like that bit was next level, because a lot of what they're having to photograph and a lot of what they're having to witness. Without sounding like, but it's not people that they care about necessarily.
No.
Like they're strangers, which is, you know, it's still awful. But you're able to like shut off the feelings. But what the difference was with the young girl was that didn't happen first.
No, it was like two reverse stories.
Yeah, they were like
One softened, Kirsten Dunst's character softened, and Kaylee Spenny's kind of hardened. And just to flash back for a moment, I think the cue or the moment where Kirsten Dunst's character started to sort of soften was that in that little strange beaten it town place where there was that wonderful moment where
When she
got the dress, and also where there was an indication as to the kind of people, what, you know, the everyone's being watched, and there are soldiers and troops on top of buildings. I felt I could have done with a bit more of that. I wanted a bit more of context. I wanted a bit of a broader sense of the threat at all times outside, you know, the unknowability. But the ending was great. The last quote you loved.
Oh my God. With the last quote in my head, I said, like, oh, I really hope he says this.
They need a quote from the president,
and then
don't they?
And he said it, and I was like, yeah.
Yo, what a quote from the president, guys. Will it be enough, though? Is it the right quote? Okay, so let's go to summing up.
Well, the main reason I wanted to see this genuinely was because of Jesse Plemons' moment in the trailer.
Yeah.
It all looked, you know, good, but that really got me. I was like, oh, goosebumps. So other than that, I was a bit blind as to what I was kind of coming into, and... you know, when it started, still felt a little bit blind as to what I was going into because there wasn't much explanation from the beginning, which I understand is bothering. I think just for me personally, it didn't bother me. Like, it worked for me.
It didn't keep snagging you.
Yeah, no, but no. I understand, like, why it would. Yeah, I liked the use of little music, and usually, like, soundtracks are the biggest thing for me with movies, yeah. But I've realised I'm not much of, like, an action-packed film lover.
I'm not a thriller fan.
And I think I've realised that a lot of that is because there's music going on at the same time, and I literally just get overstimulated, so I quite liked that it was in... that it was, they just kept the real sounds of what was kind of going on, like the reality of it. Yeah, like you said, you feel like A24 is going to do like a book of all the photographs.
Yeah, the stills.
And I kind of hope they do because the photographs are really cool.
Yeah,
I thought the performances from everyone were really good, to be honest. I can't think of any moment where I was like, ooh. I really liked how, I think I felt it quite quickly how it was more a film about the press and how they kind of deal with this kind of stuff and how they're desensitized. Rather than it being like about the war. And I think that's maybe why I wasn't as bothered about not knowing what the root cause.
I think that completely wrong-footed me. I think, yeah. I was going in about the war.
Yeah. I think the thing is, I didn't go in with much of an expectation about what... Obviously, it's called Civil War, but in my head, didn't really like think about it. Yeah, like, honestly, I really enjoyed it. It would stress me out. I felt a lot of things while watching it. You know, I think I cried. I jumped out of my skin. I was shocked. I was... Yeah, it made me feel a lot
good
of things,
result
which
the cinema.
Is pretty much what a film should do. So I would rate it, something quite high.
Oh, yeah.
I think like a solid 90 out of 100.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. That's good.
92.
Okay. You're right. I think I was almost hampered by the intimate interest I have in American politics and society. So I was striving for a political contingent. And
I think you should watch it again.
Yeah, exactly. And Maddie's on the money. This is a film about the desensitizing traumatic impact of being a war photographer or a war journalist. And that's a curious... It's very much about that.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, as you rightly again said, you know, by letting go of who's fighting who, I think what's more telling about this is that people are fighting people.
Mm.
And in many regards, the disorientation of not knowing who's fighting who adds to that.
Like, I think I said to you when we came out, it was like, it almost worked because I think, like, in the reality of it, there's probably some people involved in it who've lost what the reason of the war was.
Entirely good.
That happens so often. Where
you're fighting for the sake of it.
It's so intense and it goes on for so long and everyone's so involved that you just go, wait, what was the thing we were mad about?
Totally agree. I thought the three most obvious set pieces that stood out to me were the moment in Winter Wonderland, was the Jesse Plemons, was also the White House assault, most beautifully, though I say beautiful, I'm now doing what war photographers do, the moment where the president's press spokesperson gets shot in a brilliant moment where it's being filmed and we cut to the photograph. I thought that was sensational. This is going to sound really odd. One major problem I had with the entire film, and this is going to sound really odd, I've made a film with photographers for Nat Geo in the past. I've been photographing in kind of pretty, you know, hurly-burly situations with film cameras and sometimes with stills cameras. And one of the things that was really irking me was that I didn't feel, and I don't feel, that I think Kirsten Dunst more than Kaylee Spenny. Kaylee Spenny looked like an actor with a camera, often. I don't think she, and that's a believability thing, but there is something, when you are a photographer in these things, you are far more, and I know she was learning her way, but even the way they were holding their cameras, both her and Kirsten, it was too obviously signposted or foregrounded. I think it needed to be a little bit more kind of embedded in the movement. A lot of great war photography is often taken on the sly, on the snide, out a thing, round a thing, off a thing. You know, not in this, step out, take a photo. I thought it was a bit too much step out and take a photo. And they were dodging the bullets much more than the people with the guns and everything else.
Yeah.
So there was that was a bit of an issue for me. Mm. Successful or not, Kaylee Spenny, I literally hated her. But that's a good thing for the film. It's not like you hate her that it makes it a bad film. And especially when you get to the last scene, oh my God, you just think
I wanted to punch her.
I wanted to smack her face in, absolutely. And she was just like, oh my God. Brilliantly shot, curious use of music. So all of those things said. Oh, finally, I found myself constantly thinking about, wow, isn't it interesting that we can talk about how the press can still be protected in a fictional civil war of such untold violence in America. But if you've got a press jacket on in Gaza, you'll be shot straight away. Interesting, that, isn't it? So it really speaks to some of the crises we're going through now in war. If I was to score it, That's interesting that you said 90 to 92. I would give it 89.
Oh, that's...
Which is up there, yeah. Absolutely. I think we can figure what you go in to see. Forget the Civil War aspect, in a way,
yeah.
And think about people and how they deal with violence and cover that violence.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a bit lower than you, because I could have done with a little bit more kind of context. I wanted to know, who the fuck are they doing these photos for? Just for themselves? For their Instagram, even? That would have been quite telling if it was just for them. You know, if you discovered there's not even a publication, it's like, oh, this is ego. Mm. They just want the best shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that said, go and see it.
Go see it.